You know, I was forgetting plenty, and that makes me feel a little bit better. Tonight, we'd like to look at just three verses, and it's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, three well-known verses, beginning at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here in those three verses, we have an invitation for salvation and an invitation for service. I'd like to break it up in just six categories, and believe me, you'll get out in time tonight. I got more time than I need. I figured for 15 minutes, and believe me, you will get out ahead of time. As I said, I'd like to break it up in six divisions. Something to do, something to receive, something to leave, something to take, something to learn, and something to find. Now you say, how could you get through so quick? Just a short comment on each one. Come. Come unto me. Something to do. You'll say, well, Freddie, I thought it was already done. Why is it something to do? Yes, believe me, from the authority of God's word, it's already done. As far as anything could be done for your salvation, Christ has already done it. But he asked you to do just one thing, to come. Come unto me. In other words, simply believe. You might say, well, Freddie, I have a hard time understanding what that word believe means. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're here lost tonight, whenever you realize that you are lost and that you are helpless and that you are hopeless and that you are hellbound, I don't think you'll have any problem knowing what that word means to believe. Because there's nothing else to do but believe when you realize that condition you're in. Something to do. Something to receive. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Something to receive, rest of salvation. My friend, tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, you're restless. Isaiah 57, I think, in verse 20 it is, says the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot find rest, whose waters cast out mire and dirt. You're restless. You're like that ocean out there like it was a couple of days ago. You're troubled. But Jesus says, come unto me. I'll give you rest. And listen what he says. I'll give you. It's a gift. It's unearned. Unmerited. You'll say, rest from what, Freddie? I'll tell you, my friend, if you come, rest of the conscience. You could lie down in your bed tonight knowing that your sins are forgiven, and if a Savior should return, you would be at home with him. Rest of conscience. Knowing, if you accept him tonight, that the penalty of sin has been paid for. It's settled. You're forgiven. Wouldn't you like to have that tonight? John 6:35. The Lord says, he that cometh to me, come again, shall never hunger. You will find enough if you come, my friend, to satisfy your spiritual soul forever and ever. Because the Lord Jesus says, I am that bread of life. And he says, if you come, he that cometh to me shall never thirst. He asks you to come and drink. He says, anyone that thirsteth may come. But my friend tonight, if you're lost, you need to realize that you're thirsty, that you have a need. If you're not thirsty, you would never come. Are you thirsty tonight? Do you have that thirst that you need to have quenched? The Lord Jesus says, come unto me. I'll quench that thirst. But then thirdly, I want to dwell on this point a little bit. Something to leave. Say, well, what am I got to leave? Says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Heavy laden with what? Your burden of sin. Something to leave? Your burden of sin. Say, well, how could I leave that? Says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Are you willing to confess tonight your sin, your need? But I'll tell you something else that word come means. It means to enter a door. He says, I am the door, the Lord Jesus said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Christ the door shall be saved. You might say, Freddie, saved from what? Saved from your penalty of sin, like I said already. And my friend, if it's nothing else, to be saved from the judgment of an eternal hell forever and ever, that's enough to be saved from. But he not only saves us from the penalty of sin, but once you trust him, you're saved from the power of sin. Not that you will not sin again. Oh, yes, we will. But saved, says sin shall not have dominion over us. We could come and confess that sin. We're saved from the power. And one day we'll be saved from the very presence of sin when we get on to glory with him. Love, that's enough to be saved from. Why miss it? Why miss it? But come means not only the door, to enter the door, but it means to open the door. You cannot enter. Christ cannot enter until you open the door. That reminded me of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in. And I will sup with him and he with me. Just for a moment, let's look at that verse. Who is that Savior? I'll tell you, my friend, tonight, if you're lost, he's the present Savior because he's at the door. Says, behold, I stand at the door. He's present. He's there waiting. He's a present Savior. But not only a present Savior, he's a waiting Savior. He says, I stand. Will you leave him standing tonight? Will you continue to leave him standing at the door and walk out of this building tonight? He's standing. He's waiting. But you have to open that heart's door. But he's not only a waiting Savior there in that verse. But my friend, he's a seeking Savior. Because he's knocking. He's knocking. He continues to knock. Will you let him in? Will you let him in? A seeking Savior. But not only a seeking Savior, he's a pleading Savior. And as I read this, I said, that's all a sinner needs. He's a pleading Savior. He says, I will. But my friend, tonight, if you lost, it's your will. It's your will to give up and to turn to the Savior. He's willing. Are you willing? I trust you will not go out tonight if you're lost without knowing the Savior. He says, I will. But he's not only a pleading Savior in that verse. He's a promising Savior. He says, I will come into him. And my friend, he's never broken a promise. Never. And he never will. He says, I will come into him. Again, will you let him in? How could you turn such a Savior down? But not only a promising Savior, but he's a providing Savior. Listen to what he says. I will sup with him. My friend, he'll meet every need in your life. He's promised to do that. And not only is he a providing Savior, but he's a fellowshipping Savior. Says, I will sup with him and he with me. How could you miss such a Savior? If you don't know him tonight, how could you miss such a Savior? Now, fourthly, something to take. Something to take. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Ere it changes from salvation into service. Take my yoke upon you. Christ shares his work with us. He says, take my yoke. I said, Lord, you're willing to share your work with me? He says, yes. Paul, writing to the Corinthian believers, says, for we are laborers together with God. Working together. In the same building. The same church. To build up each other. You know, as I thought of that, I say, is it working together? I thought of our men sometime, we're working, they're quarreling, we don't get anything done. And all of a sudden I would go to the one in charge there. I'll say, look, when we get this done today, we're going. You're home. And you should see that unity. They come together. And what would have normally have taken them 8 hours, they can do in 4 hours. Because of working together. Beloved Christian, let me say from my heart tonight, if we're quarreling, if we're fighting, if we're complaining, the work's not going to get done. Oh, let us learn. Let us learn to work together for one good. See souls saved and to uplift God's people and for God's glory, for his glory. Let's be willing to take his yoke. Says, take his yoke. Enter into submission to his will. It means to turn over control of our life to him. Paul, writing in Romans 12:1, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. He didn't say a dead sacrifice. Just like you would offer a dead sacrifice, he wants it to be a living sacrifice to lay it all on the altar for him. I said to myself, why? Why, Paul? Why should I do that? Paul says, finishes it up in Romans 12:1, because it's our reasonable service. Then I said, Paul, why is it my reasonable service? And I come up with this, and every one of you will come up with that, because of what Christ has done for me and you. Is it anything too odd for us to do for him? When we consider he left heaven, the richest of the rich. Everything was his. He created all things. And came to where we were and born in a cave. And nowhere to lay his head. And then went to Calvary and let him nail him to that cross. And then took my sin, your sin, and was willing to take the punishment that we should endure forever in the pit of hell. Is it anything too hard for us to do for him? Then writer put it like this. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. I can't say any more than that. That's our reasonable service. Something to learn. Just learn of me. That's something to learn. Learn of the Savior. Paul could say in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. As I said on Tuesday evening, how well do I know him? How well do I know him? Do I know him in that I become more like him every day? It's a challenge to me. Could others see a difference in me every day? Paul could say that I may know him in the power of this resurrection. Paul is saying, I may know him in the power that God raised him from the dead. A power of a new life. Resurrection speaks to us of a new life. Does my life demonstrate a new life? Challenge to me, beloved. Learn of me. Am I willing, like a Savior, to die to myself? That's learning like him, to learn like he was. Am I willing to learn like him, like he did, to put others first? I tell you, I don't. Honestly, I don't. Am I willing to learn of him to say, not my will, but thine be done? Lord, not what I want, but what you want. Am I willing to learn of him? Am I willing to be like him? Meek, lowly. I'll tell you what, beloved. If you're like that, those who take that yoke will learn to take the lowest place. Is that what we're willing to do? Is that what I'm willing to do? Challenge to my heart. Finally, something to find. Rest for your souls. This time it's a rest, like I said, for service, not for salvation. A rest of heart that is found by taking, as I just said, the lowest place. Before God and before man. You'll find rest when you take that place. The Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is not like the Pharisees' yoke was. They took heavy burdens, hard to bear, laid them on men's shoulders, but didn't lift their fingers to take one of those heavy burdens off. The Lord's yoke's not like that. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It does not chafe. And I believe I heard Brother Roddy say this from the platform. I'm not sure if it was him. That if Jesus had a sign outside his carpenter's shop, it would have read, my yoke fits well. Are we willing to take his yoke? Am I willing to take his yoke? It's a challenge to my heart. He says, his burden is light. This doesn't mean that we won't have problems. We won't have trials. We won't have heartaches in the Christian life. But I'll tell you what it does mean, that we don't have to bear them alone. He'll be with us every step of the way. Because we are yoked with one who gives sufficient grace for every time of need. Beloved, I trust as we keep these things in mind, something to do, something to receive, something to leave, something to take, something to learn, something to find. It would really be a challenge to our hearts. You know, as you come back to the first beginning of the message, thinking of come, trusting the Lord while you still have time. You might say, well, Freddie, I don't have time to think about that now. I'm still young. Oh, Freddie, when I get a little older, when I get married, maybe, or when I have a family, or maybe when my children is married and gone, I'll have time to think of those things. I come across something this week. I'd like to share it with you. And with this, I close. Youth is too happy to think. Plenty of time. Manhood, too busy to think. Seeking more wealth. Prime of life, too anxious to think. Warriors taken over. Declining years, too old to think. Life is wasted. Dying bed, too ill to think. Too weak now. Death, too late to think. Opportunity to think is now lost. Eternity, forever to think. God's mercy is past. My friend, if you in here tonight, don't leave this building tonight. If you don't know that your sins are forgiven, that you've been cleansed, washed in His precious blood, because when you get in eternity, it'll be forever to think of the opportunities you've had on this island, and you refused them, and now you're in hell, and you cannot change it. You're forever, forever lost. Don't leave this building tonight until you know for sure my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. Let us pray. Father, we are truly thankful that whosoever will may come. We thank you that the day of grace is still open. And men and women, boys and girls, still have another chance to receive your Son. Oh, Father, we pray if it's one on here tonight who has never yet said, I will to the Savior, that tonight, before they even leave this building, they will say, I will. Let him come in. May it be so, Lord, for your sake. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. You've been a wonderful audience. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it so much. Brother Grayling, do you know that chorus? Could raise it. C-O-M-E, come. That's all he asks of me. Could you raise that for us?